Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Friday. Moving fast and furious on today's show. The Stanley Cup Final came to an end. I was really hoping there'd be a Game 7, but there was not. We bring in our next guest, Greg Wyshynski, who is on the line with us. And, of course, he joins us usually on Thursdays. And we moved him to today, so we appreciate that. Greg, how you doing?
You know, some of us who had a flight to Raleigh and then a flight to Calgary and then a flight to Edmonton the day after Game 6, we're okay with it ending in 6. We're okay with the series ending where exactly where it ended and going to the beach the next morning was okay. I promise you that is the last travel lament you will hear from me for at least another year.
Hey, it's certainly okay. Greg Wyshynski, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. You know, I know this may sound like a silly question, but when you look at the year overall, I mean, this was not the same Florida Panthers team, at least early on, that we saw win the Stanley Cup last year. They had to get better as the season went on. They took advantage of some of the LTIR rules and made trades and added, you know, Marchand and Seth Jones. Did the best team win the Stanley Cup, or did the best team right now win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, I would say the best playoff team won the Stanley Cup, because you're absolutely right. I mean, they're kind of the Sam Bennett, who won the Conn Smythe, is kind of the personification of this team. You know, he's a guy who has never scored 30 goals in the regular season. But you watch him in the playoffs and you're like, this guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Right. It's like the night and day of it all. And that's kind of the Panthers, you know, like they don't blow you away in the regular season sometimes. They, especially not this season when they were nursing injuries and Ekblad had the PED suspension and they're kind of just trying to figure out where the pieces fit before they mount another, you know, run at the cup. And you mentioned Marchand and you know, Seth Jones was the other really big acquisition. And I think the trick for the Panthers is not only knowing that everybody on the roster kind of knows what their role is, but it's bringing in people into that culture and having them understand the roles. Like Marchand's a superstar, but he was a third liner on this team. Like Seth Jones is a top pairing defenseman anywhere in this league, but he played on the second pairing in Florida and he was fine with it. And actually I think he thrived in that role. So they're a magnificently put together team that obviously knows the trick in this league is just play your best hockey when it matters most and have guys that rise to the occasion.
On the other side of things, Greg, Edmonton, 2 years in a row, they lose to the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. You once again have McDavid and Draisaitl, two of the best players in the league that, you know, aren't winning the Stanley Cup. What's next for Edmonton?
Next for Edmonton is coming to grips with what was said yesterday, the four words heard around the world from Connor McDavid after he extolled the virtues of the boys that he's played with and going for the cup and you know how exciting it's been to try to do that in Edmonton. And then he said, with that being said, and then talked a little bit about how he's got to do right by himself and his family and have, you know, make a decision that's going to be best for him to try to win the cup. And again, this is the first major moment in a negotiation that is ongoing. He can sign a contract after July 1st. He's a free agent, not this summer, but next summer. This is the first moment where I think you started to see the flop sweat on the foreheads of Oilers fans thinking, oh my God, could it be possible? Could it be possible decades after Wayne Gretzky went to the Los Angeles Kings that the other generational talent that they've had come through, Connor McDavid, could maybe one day not be an Edmonton Oiler? I'll say this. It made clear to me behind the scenes that just because Leon Draisaitl signed that massive contract did not mean that was the guarantee McDavid was going to stay. I think he's curious about other opportunities. You know, this is an Oilers team now that has had two kicks at the can and both times clearly did not put a championship quality team around their star players. I mean, the fact that they didn't know who was going to start in goal in Game 6 was a joke, right? Like, what are we doing here? So again, like this is the first moment in which the rest of the league probably arched an eyebrow and started wondering if there was an opportunity for McDavid to ever leave Edmonton. I still think the odds are long that'll happen, but if it ever happened, my God, it would be our version of the LeBron decision. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, for sure. Greg Wyshynski is with us. Our midday host, Willie Donick, of course, is the TV play-by-play for the Predators. made a comment the other day, and he's since kind of said, maybe I got a little carried away with it. But he said if UC Saros was on the Edmonton Oilers, you know, they would have at least one Stanley Cup. He said three initially, but he's revised it to say at least one. Do you buy that? Because goaltending clearly was a big issue.
Dude, if Thomas Vokoun today were on the Edmonton Oilers, they probably would have had a cup by now. Like, anything is better than what they were throwing out there for the last 2 years. No, it's absolutely right. I mean, their goaltending has been less than replacement level. The times in which Stuart Skinner has played well have been few and far between, and I think the times in which they've played well with him in net, it's because they're playing well in front of him. You know, gets pulled in two Stanley Cup final games in Florida, and then, you know, does not play all that well in the elimination game. If they had replacement level goaltending on that team, they probably would have won the cup at least one of these years, but it just didn't come to fruition. But their problems go beyond that. I mean, you look at their back end, it's not very good. The loss of Zach Hyman to injury, which was a huge, huge loss for that team, really did expose the lack of depth beyond the top two lines. And, you know, there's other problems beyond the goaltending. But again, like, you come back to this idea that it's game six of the Stanley Cup final, and you're just kind of like, should I throw out the 33-year-old journeyman who's on his sixth team in 10 NHL seasons, or the guy that got pulled twice in the series already in this arena? And it's just like you marvel at that being the situation that Connor McDavid finds himself in.
That's okay, Greg. My back end is not good either, so, but we're working on it to get there. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN.com. Greg, closer to Nashville here, Roman Josi comes out announcing the day that he's got POTS. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but the symptoms include a fast heart rate, dizziness, and fatigue. He's set to play for Switzerland's Olympic team. Would that be a good thing? I mean, I don't know this disease. It sounds like they could have it under care and everything like that, but is this something maybe he shouldn't do, should do? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's a question for a lot of players when it comes to their health and tournaments that exist outside of the NHL. I mean, Austin Matthews is a good example where the Maple Leafs were really hoping that he wouldn't play in the Four Nations tournament because of the injuries that he was dealing with this year, but it obviously meant so much to him, and he was the captain of the U.S. team, so he went ahead and played. Everything I've heard indicates that Josi is going to be ready for the start of the season. So by virtue of that, you assume that it'll be something he can have under control. He'll have played a few months in the NHL, and then he goes off and plays for Switzerland. But again, you make an excellent point, and it's the real tough thing about the Olympics being right smack dab in the middle of the regular season, which is that these teams and these players all have to make difficult decisions sometimes with regard to their health and with regard to what's important. But you know, I once had a conversation with a player who was a non-North American about whether it was more important for him to win a gold medal in the Olympics or the Stanley Cup. And I couldn't even get the word cup out of my mouth before he said gold medal. I mean, it is that important to these guys that grew up watching Olympic hockey to represent their country, to have a chance to do, you know, to win a medal. And so I think if he could do it, he'll definitely do it, and I think that it sounds like he'll be okay for the start of the season.
Matt Duchene, nice little contract, 4-year extension, $18 million. Too bad that couldn't have been in Nashville and they didn't work it out. So, I mean, good for Matt Duchene.
Yeah, I mean, point per game player last year at his age in Dallas. It's kind of amazing, boys, when you start to think about the way that the free agent market is shaping up. Like, the center position is pretty thin, and already we have seen three guys come off the board. Duchene resigns multiple years in Dallas to stay in a situation he really likes. Sam Bennett, a drunken Sam Bennett, at a Stanley Cup celebration last night, proclaimed to the crowd, doing his best Wolf of Wall Street impression, that he is not going anywhere and is going to remain a Panther for 8 years. Which is great. If you can find the video, it's pretty awesome. And then today, the big news today, Jonathan Toews, who is making a big comeback, is going to sign a 1-year deal with the Winnipeg Jets. So three veteran centers already off the market, and so that was interesting to see on the Duchene front, because I think he certainly could have found maybe a raise somewhere, given that there's not a lot of other options. But again, you find yourself a good situation with a successful team in a cough income tax free state. And you tend to want to stay there for as long as you can.
We've done this what if about centers in the 2017 Stanley Cup final between the Predators and the Penguins. Had Ryan Johansson been the Ryan Johansson he was before he got injured in 2017, does Nashville win that cup?
Yes, they do. That line rocked, and he was so good in the Western Conference Final. And you know, this is like the question about whether the Montreal Expos would have won the World Series if it wasn't for the 94 strike. Like, they totally would have. And this is my conspiracy theory for hockey. Like, I really do believe the Predators would have won the Cup that year had that injury not occurred, because that line was exactly the kind of thing that they needed against that Penguins team. I don't think they really had a Northern Star offensively against that team. And it was just a bummer when it happened, because they seemed extremely primed. And that was such a deep and talented team. The goaltending was great. It was a fun final, but ultimately, you know, I don't think that the Penguins saw the real Predators because of that injury.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. So, I mean, look, I think Barry Trotz is done for the offseason acquiring Eric Halla. I mean, man, what a splash.
You know, like, I'm happy for Halla because I think he needs a change of scenery. I didn't think he was all that good for the Devils last year, but you know what you're getting with him. You're gonna get a dynamic penalty killer. You're gonna get a guy that's gonna be able to chip in offensively. He can bring a little sandpaper to the proceedings. Good depth player. I mean, you know, obviously there's other work to be done for the Predators, but for this kind of deal, I think it's fine. I think he the one thing you can say about him, you know, whether he's effective offensively or not, is that he adds to your compete level. And certainly the Predators, for lack of a better term, could use some more dog in them, and I think that he can help to that end.
I totally agree with that, and I like Halla the player. He was good the year that he was here, but that was a while ago. And I think a lot of Preds fans are just a little confused on – they know there's a plan. Barry Trotz has said there's a plan that he's following, but it's, okay, are you getting younger, or are you still trying to be in the now? And it kind of feels like he's trying to do both, and maybe he'll be able to pull that off with all the draft assets that they have. 9 picks, I think, in this draft, including 3 first rounders. But it they're still an older team. That's my thing.
And they're gonna get a terrific player at 5. Like the top 5 or 6 or 7 guys in this draft are all real good, and they'll end up getting a probably a really good forward at that spot, depending on how some of the picks in front of them go. But no, you're right. I mean, it is hard for the consumer base to really wrap their heads around what they're doing right now, because, you know, they went so hard with the veterans last year, and it didn't manifest into anything. And it was always, I think, in service of waiting for the kids to mature and transition to whatever the next phase of the Predators were going to be. But, you know, last year not being successful kind of just makes you wonder, all right, so do you double down on veterans for a little bit? Do you just completely tear it down? Who knows? The one thing I'm really curious about is Marchessault. Like, it didn't really fit. I mean, he's got, obviously, I think, some control in where he could go, but you look at what the Panthers just did, and they have a team built of guys like Marchessault, like guys that are pretty good in the regular season, but then they get into the playoffs and all of a sudden it's like every single game this guy does something to make it work for you. And I think that's such a valuable asset. And I think the teams that are on the precipice of maybe winning would love to have that guy aboard. And so that's the chip I'd love to see them play in the offseason. I really think he's got value, and I really think that the return could help them. It's just a matter of finding the right deal and the right fit for him.
You probably know this answer better than I do. What was his relationship like with Pete DeBoer in Vegas?
Well, that's a loaded question, because, you know, everybody's relationship with Pete DeBoer is good at some point and then horrible at the end. So, you know, like, I don't know exactly how things left with him and Pete, but I know for a fact that, like, you know, there was always some tension between Pete and players in every stop that he's had. But, you know, the thing about Marchessault that I love is that he's not exactly the parallel to Marchand perfectly, but the way he talks, you know, he's somebody who's extremely unfiltered when it comes to things like officiating and opponents and things like that. He's got a bit of a mouth that if you're a team that needs someone like that in the room, he's great at it, much like Florida needed Marchand. And then obviously, like, his skill set for the playoffs is great, and he's got proof of concept for how good he could be in the playoffs. So I think he's a player with value. Maybe not in an off-season trade. Maybe as we get closer to the deadline next year, that's the move. But I definitely think that he's, if you're looking to transition to the younger team, I mean, that's a guy who could bring back some pretty decent assets, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Greg, appreciate it, as always. I know we're kind of approaching the the off season. We've got the draft next week and free agency. But appreciate it, and we'll see kind of what happens from here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program, brought to you by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll react to some of those things and what it kind of means moving forward for the Preds. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday. I laugh every time I see the meme that says, going to rock down to 08, and then it has a sign that says Electric Avenue closed. Pretty good. I appreciate Greg Wyshynski for joining us. I think the next few weeks are going to be interesting for the Predators as the draft starts next Friday. We'll have special coverage from Bridgestone Arena with a draft show, draft night in Smashville. They do have the fifth overall pick. And as Greg said, I think all indications are they're going to get a pretty good player with that pick. And then they have two other picks in the first round that they can either, you know, use or try and, you know, package a deal to acquire a player. I think we all agree that center continues to need to be a position of need. They also got to find a right shot defenseman to play alongside Roman Josi. And I would think with the POTS diagnosis for Josi, maybe an insurance policy at the same time.
Any way you can get rid of the Saros deal?
A lot of people have asked that on the text line. I do not see
He'd be a fool to say, I get you.
Yeah, I mean, the contract kicks in July 1st.
God.
And so, I mean, yes.
It's a bad deal.
Yes, they could trade him. Yeah, right now it is a bad deal, 100%. It's a bad deal. I mean, I like Saros. It was kind of a tough deal, I think, to make. But I was of the, if you could sign him to one more bridge deal, that's what I would have done.
Yeah.
I wasn't signed up for, you know, trade him and bring a scar off up and you know, play with the rookie goaltender, because I mean, we've seen how that's really worked out in San Jose.
I know, but it's just that the fact of this was a 50-50 deal. 50% liked it, 50% hated it. There was no overwhelming majority, and that I was like, and look, I don't know the first thing about hockey and all the deals and all that. It just, to me as an ignorant hockey fan, it just looked bad.
It's one of those things that if he turns around and has either a Vezina winning or Vezina finalist season, a lot of people will shut up.
Yeah, I'll buy a Saros jersey.
It'll still be viewed as, don't know if I would have done it, but at least he turned around and had a good year. Now, it also depends on what the team does.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, is the team a playoff team or what have you? So time will tell there. But, I mean, I just, you know, I know there's a plan. I trust Barry Trotz to execute the plan. But, I mean, it is a little confusing when you're talking about, you know, a few years ago, you sold off a bunch of assets. You want to get younger. Yes, he has a bunch of draft picks to work with. But then you're going and acquiring, I think, a 34-year-old player in Eric Halla, who, again, was good the 1 year he was here, but that was 4 years ago.
Doesn't it look bad that Duchesne is still kicking at a high gear in Dallas?
It does, but also I think to Greg's point, you know, you find the right fit. Nashville wasn't the right fit. He wanted it to be the right fit, but I think for the wrong reasons, you know, because that's where the whole quote of, I want players to come here to win, not to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think now he's found the right fit in Dallas because I'm sure it was a wake up call for him of like, hey, okay. All right, I just got fired and, you know, bought out. I'm being paid to go away in Nashville. So God. I think he's found a good fit in Dallas. For Preds fans, I mean, that one still stings.
I would love for you to come here and say, hey, I'm paying you to go away. I'm like, all right, man. I would love that. Any business I've ever worked at,
right,
paid, hit the road. Love it. See you guys.
It definitely stings. As for the Predators, you know, I don't see them, Barry Trotz has said that, I don't see them being super active in free agency. They don't really need to be because of what happened last year. Just, you know, either trades or I mean, if you can find the defenseman,
right,
and that's what you really, really need, sinners don't grow on trees. I think you're going to get that at five overall.
So, okay, last year they spent all that money, signed all the guys on July 1st. It was the highlight of NHL Network and all that. All right, so now it's over, done with. Now we just – it can work, right? I mean, it can work. They could all come together like we thought last year, right? Give me some hope.
I think so, yeah. I mean
– give me some hope.
You know, I'll be curious if, you know, whoever they pick, which if you're going by the rankings – it's going to be a James Higgins, who's a center from Boston College, or Anton Frundell, who's kind of a center or right winger. That's probably where it lands. Higgins is the one I've heard about the most.
Who?
James Higgins. He's a college hockey player. He's kind of fallen down the rankings a little bit, but he's the one that might land at five and – you know, hopefully it can be your top center of the future.
What about package all three and trade up to number one?
I doubt that they'd be able to pull that off.
Who's got number one? Atlanta?
The Islanders.
Islanders.
Yeah. Matthew Schaefer, who's a defenseman, would be. And see, that's another question. It's like, well, they don't need a defenseman. Well, they might need a defenseman.
What about Vern Fiddler's kid?
He could be at the back end of the first round. Or the
cool.
Or the early second round.
Now, don't draft him because the story's cool. And I think Trotz is a lot smarter than that.
No, but it would be kind of cool. Let's see. He is kind of looking at this ranking list. He is ranked 26th, right-handed defenseman, Blake Fiddler, son of Vern.
So, Preds pick where in the back end of the draft?
Around there.
Okay.
Let me pull that up.
Fifth
for you.
Pick, and then some play two picks later in the first round.
They have this year. Oh, that's not what I want. I'll have to look it up during the break.
That's okay, buddy.
I got it for you, but I'll look it up. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. Big weekend in Clarksville. We'll tell you about that and much more. Chasing Big Joe. But right now, as we do that, let's give away something, shall we? Caller number five, in honor of the fifth overall pick for the Preds, will win a four-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park this Friday. 615-737-1025. Caller number five right now, 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game here on this Friday. It's coming up Sunday in Clarksville, F&M Bank Arena, the Nashville Cats. In the playoffs against the Southwest Kansas Storm. Pregame at 4, kickoff at 4:30. You can listen to Big Joe and yours truly on Totally Hits 93.3. We say hello to the CEO of the Nashville Predators who joins us now, Sean Henry. And Sean, we're excited to take another trip to Clarksville to the beautiful F&M Bank Arena. I know it's going to be fun.
It's going to be awesome. You know, I actually thought you guys were going to keep me on hold until Sunday. Good gosh.
Yeah, man. Sorry about that.
Whatever. You had all those commercials put in. Pretty impressive new partners, too. Yeah, Sunday's going to be great. I look forward to seeing you guys up there. And, you know, playoffs are always good in any sport. But when you get a chance to, you know, take that great game into Clarksville, that new building, it's really special. And the whole city's behind it, the whole region. It's going to be a fun day.
What was so cool last week is we got there, and there were like a group of people that, you know, I don't even know if they had been to a Cats game yet, but that were like, hey, we want this in Clarksville. Like, this is cool. We got a team here, you know, playing in this arena. And then the atmosphere during the game was freaking awesome. And so I expect it to go up another level for playoffs because you know how that goes. But I know it's got to be special for you all and Austin Peay and the city of Clarksville, you know, that work together on this arena to now have this team playing there, you know, in the playoffs. But having the people of Clarksville that have embraced it as quickly as they have.
Yeah, you know, it's an amazing area. It really is. You know, Smashville North or Stashville, depending on if you want the Austin Peay flavor. But Mayor Golden, the mayor of the county, so passionate, just like Mayor Durrett was. And that guy embraces everything we do, everything that's good for the area. I think he's throwing his own party at 2 o'clock in the town square, you know, before the game. And it is incredible. And what I like is, there's such an insatiable desire for more program. And, you know, the first 5 years of a building is when you're proven to promoters and leagues what it's all about, why we could support anything and create the atmosphere that you're talking about right now. It's a lot of fun. And then add to the fact, you know, how about those Cats? I mean, Jeff Fisher's passion to make sure that this team stayed around is really incredible. And it's so fun to see it getting paid off with, ideally, a championship. Because we win Sunday, and then we're back for the championship.
I like the we with that, Sean. I love the we part of this.
You know, I am like Queen Victoria, baby. You know, it's always we.
Sean Henry on the Chase and Big Joe Show today. Before we get back to Clarksville and that arena up there, I predicted it. Today is number 64, college football 64 days out. You sent me a picture of number 64. I mean, does it get any better than Jim Burt, Sean?
Man, it's hard to. There was a guy that didn't get a lot of acclaim, right? You know, Pro Bowl. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. But he drove that defense. And obviously, LT was, you know, the greatest defensive player ever. You know, Harry Carson's on that team and Johnson, all great, great players. But for me, it really started with Jim Burt. I mean, when you had to keep guys, you know, focused on him, it really opened up opportunities for Marshall and Martin and Taylor. He was something. He was football too, wasn't he?
Oh.
He and Carson invented the Gatorade dump.
That's right.
After Super Bowl, yeah. I love the guy. But I got two nasty emails within minutes of posting that about what about your favorite Pred. And, of course, it's, you know, Granlin, so I had to add him to the list too.
We can't forget Victor Bartley either.
Thank you so much. I'm sure I'm going to get another email. I love Victor Bartley too, by the way. He's a Nashville guy now and a real estate mogul as well.
The F&Bank Arena, Chase had told me about how great it was. You know, you don't know how great it is to experience it. It's got the new car smell. It's everything perfect up there. And, of course, we're getting the questions. When are you going to put a hockey team up there? When are you going to put a minor league hockey team up there? First things first, Sunday is going to be fun. And what you guys have done up there, Sean, and everything, it was just perfect. And I know we're kind of going too much into this, but it's deserved because it's really a fun arena and it's a fun time.
You know, it really is. And, again, I love the passion. People want more. You know, the guy that tweeted both of us today, Robert, I think he tweets me once a month or every week. I don't know what it is. Hey, when are we going to get a league? And I can't wait, you know, to bring more and more programming. And, of course, you know, hockey happens to be a small passion of mine, so it would be great to really fill that with another league, another hockey league, because we do have, you know, a junior team playing out of there. But it deserves, you know, more and more teams to call itself home. And it's going to be great. But, by the way, Robert, when was the last time anyone heard me make an announcement before we made an announcement?
Hey, tell him, Sean.
When it happens. But I look forward to seeing him, you know, in the stands every single game because he's very passionate. I love that. I really do. He's passionate for Clarksville, for our game. And that's a pretty good combination for me. But I remember it wasn't that long ago, Chase and I were begging you to come up to Clarksville with us. So I'm glad that you are enjoying it so much because it is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, my ankle bracelet doesn't allow me out of Davidson County, but we're good now. we're good to go. Let me ask you this. And even though what did you guys see in Clarksville? We know, I mean, it's a great city and all that, but what did you guys see in there that said, we want to be there?
You know, they had passionate leadership. And I always say it. Like, people always ask, you know, when do you put the next Fort Ice Center in? Fill in the blank city. It really starts with a dynamic politician. And Mayor Durrett was just that. I mean, he approached us. Gosh, I've been going up there probably 8 years before we even, you know, broke ground. And we were looking to build an ice rink initially. And he said, well, what about this? What if we built something like Bridgestone Arena that could do for Clarksville what the arena did for Nashville? And I'm like, well, we're in, but, you know, how are we going to get that done? And it was his passion. So many civic leaders up there said, yeah, let's make it, you know, happen. The fact that he got it done during the pandemic is just incredible. It just shows how much he loves the city, the county, the region, and most importantly, he knows what an economic impact machine a well-run arena could be for a city.
We are talking to Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, and kind of talking a little bit about the Predators, I want to get your thoughts on the announcement that Barry Trotz made yesterday that Roman Josi, your captain, has been diagnosed with POTS, postural tachycardia syndrome. I don't pretend to know exactly what all it means. So when you were told about the news, what was kind of, you know, how was it explained to you, I guess is what I'm trying to ask. And it looks like Roman's going to be good, be able to play, be able to continue his career. But I know, obviously, that's something you all will be watching closely.
Well, yeah, you know, like any injury or anything any player is dealing with, you deal with it as a team and as a group. You know, we have a great medical team surrounding Roman. They've been, you know, working with him on this for a while. And it was good to get it announced, you know, so people stopped asking questions about, you know, different things that it could have been. I know that was important for him, but it is very treatable. You know, you look at, off the top of my head, Katie Ledecky, you know, gold medal winning swimmer, has this as well. You know, it's one of those things that you take it on, head on, you treat it, and you make sure you surround him with the best care there is. And I think it was pretty important for him, you know, to say, yeah, let's make this public. Because there are other people that are dealing with it, too. Just off that social media post, it was amazing how many people responded with, hey, I deal with this, too. Love to know, you know, how it's being treated, you know, how he's doing. You know, so when bad things happen, sometimes you put a spotlight on it and create some good outcomes. And ideally, this is one more. And you know Roman fairly well. You know how he's going to take this on. He's just going to deal with it, treat it, and return to the ice in the glorious fashion that we know.
You know, I haven't talked to Roman yet, but when I do, I know how he's going to be. He's going to have a smile on his face. He's going to have a positive attitude and be like, yep, you know, just something I got to deal with, because that's Roman. And it's like you think about all the bad things that people have to deal with, and then you look at a guy like Roman Josi and always having that positive attitude. I've made the joke. I think I've seen him mad one time. I mean, that's why you love the guy like you do.
Oh, absolutely. And I have seen him mad a few times.
I know. It's a joke. I've seen him mad more than once, but yeah, yes.
No, but I do love, like you said, how he takes things on. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's his passion for certain, you know, organizations in the community, his teammates, our fans, our partners, and then obviously his family. And that's what this really centers around more than anything. He's a wonderful father and husband, which is a great role model, too. But as you said, the way he takes on adversity, I think, is so admirable. And you're so right. When you're in front of him, he'll just gonna smile and say, "Ah, Chaser, you know, we'll just figure it out." And he's really a wonderful man.
Sean Henry is with us next week. I cannot believe that Friday is the NHL draft round one. It's just snuck up on us as it does every year. But I know you all have a lot of fun things planned next weekend at Bridgestone Arena, a draft party Friday, beer fest on Saturday. So it's yet another great opportunity to come out to Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, it'll be a great weekend. You know, grab your sleeping bag and just camp out. Friday night's the draft party. Make sure you head over to our website, register for some tickets. It's going to be great. You know, we have 3 picks in the first round, 5th pick overall. It'll be run from our building, which is pretty neat. A few of us will be in L.A. We have league meetings out there a few days before it. And we're going to spend some time out there. And I get a chance to welcome, you know, 3 incredible guys Friday night into our organization and their families. We're actually going to fly back with them on Saturday and introduce our first round picks to our crowd in the middle of the beer festival, which we really need.
It's going to be
a fun weekend. And ideally, it's also a weekend that is transformative for our organization.
That's going to be really cool. So I was going to ask you about that of with kind of the changes. So does Hockey Ops remain here, unlike how it used to be where they were all on the draft floor? Is that pretty much how it's going to be?
Yeah, so our war room used to be on the arena floor with 31 other teams, where now it's going to be in our building, similar to what COVID was. Trying this out league-wide, see, you know, how it goes, how it works. It's always good to do it with your fans. On one hand, and the other, you know, anything new will have some wrinkles. But I'm somewhat excited about it. You know, I'm also excited about being out in L.A., where you get a chance to watch someone's name called, whether it's our pick or someone else's. And what I love about every draft, but especially ours, you know, when that young man's name is called, you know, how his parents, his siblings, friends kind of jump all over him, and that's pure joy. I've never had that feeling. I wish I did, whether it be for me or one of my kids. But I'm riding on our grandkids now. Hopefully Charlotte and Benji will be called in, you know, 18 years or so.
So since you're going out there, is, you know, Barry putting you in charge of, all right, now you give them the jersey, you know, make sure they get where they need to go. Are you kind of like the lackey, or like what is this?
Yeah, no one's really ever trusted me with any logistics, Chase, so I hope not. That's probably the wrong jersey, you know. Now, we'll have some PR guys out there. I think Bill Hazel and I out there, and we just get to high five and meet some young man and, you know, maybe serve him some chicken fingers in the suite.
Very cool. Sean, thanks so much for doing this today.
Wait a minute. You were bragging about having a Pro Bowl or a Super Bowl champion on. I have an Arena Bowl championship in 2003. It'll be nice to get another one under the belt 22 years later, right?
Okay, that I didn't know. Or maybe I did.
Why
know that.
Talking about that. Yeah, Coach Markham, the greatest coach in probably pro sports history.
So you
won the 8th championship with us.
So you have a Stanley Cup and an Arena Bowl win.
Yes, sir. I will bring my ring on Sunday and tell Pogster I expect a ring when we win this one too.
Yeah, right. I didn't think about that.
He'll trade that out. He'll get you one.
Because Chase and I have done so much to earn a ring if they win the championship. Kind of like you in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we were down there doing all the work for him. He'll probably give us a bottle of barbecue sauce or something. Like he's going to do.
Were you?
That's great.
Were you also in with the Pistons in one of their championships or no?
Well, yeah, I don't want to brag, but in the course of 12 months, we won an Arena Football Championship in 2003 in late summer. We won the Stanley Cup in 2004. 5 days later, an NBA championship with the Pistons. 2 months later, a WNBA championship with the Detroit Shock. So it was a really incredible year for our organization.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. That is fun. No joke.
You become more and more fascinating each time I talk to you. I just want you to know that.
Dude, I'm going to do a commercial now for a beard. You know, the most fascinating man in the world. I got to grow a beard first, but I'll get to it.
You can work on that for playoffs next year. How about that?
I'm growing a beard right now for our cats, man.
Well, that worked.
Guys, Sunday, all fuzzy up. I hope you guys are too.
Oh, we're
again. You guys don't really shave often, anyways.
So. Yeah, no, we are who we are.
Just get it all out, Sean. Just get it all out,
Sean. Thanks so much. We'll see you Sunday.
Oh, we're done? I thought we were going to do a double segment, but all right. I'll see you guys Sunday. Look forward to seeing everyone up there. Let's fill the building up. Let's get out there early and show Mayor Golden how passionate we are for another team, another championship.
Amen to that. Thanks, Sean.
See you guys.
Sean Henry, the president or CEO at President on Twitter of the Nashville Predators. We'll come back with what day is it? Celebrity birthdays on this Friday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Friday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Have a wonderful weekend. DVD coming up here in just a few minutes. But right now we've moved feverishly throughout the show. It is time for What Day Is It? And Celebrity Birthdays. It's brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. All of your commercial construction needs under one roof. JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen. First on the list, we have American Eagle Day. So shout out to the Eagles. Ann and Samantha Day. Not sure who those.
Samantha?
Ann and Samantha, yeah.
Oh, Ann and Samantha?
Yeah.
I dated a Samantha, not an Ann.
Joe?
I'm just American Eagle, the store or the eagle?
No, the actual bird.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Here's an actual bird for you.
Let's see. A cuckoo clock warning day is today. So cuckoo clocks around the world. Got to make sure they're warned. I don't know. International Surfing Day is today.
Yep.
National Daylight Appreciation Day, Joe's favorite day of the year.
Are you okay with that?
I am, because it's the longest day of daylight.
Oh, okay.
You almost said it.
Nope.
National Day of Prayer for Law Enforcement Officers.
It's good.
Always good. National Flip-Flop Day. Not a flip-flop guy.
I love flip-flops.
Oh, really? You're an open-toe type guy.
I mean, around the house and on the beach, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, not like here. I hate feet, so.
That guy right there. Watch out. National, we're not doing this one.
Yeah, we are.
It's National Kunye Aman Day. It's some type of bread.
Okay.
National Ice Cream Soda Day. National Seashell Day. National Smoothie Day. There's a lot of them. National Vanilla Milkshake Day. Delicious. National Plain Yogurt Day. And wrap it up, we have World's Ugliest Dog Day. So.
Oh. Make sure you always wrap. Okay. It's time for celebrity birthdays. Our first birthday, gotta get within two, singer Lionel Richie. How old is Lionel Richie today?
Lionel Richie, 78.
71.
76. Chaser's up 1-0.
Real quick, he had the greatest line ever when I saw him in concert. My dad and I went, and he's sitting there at the piano, and he goes, you know, there's a lot of people here that used to get down to Lionel Richie, and there's a lot of people here that were made to Lionel Richie.
What was he meaning by that?
I don't know. But
the greatest football coach in cinema history, John Goodman. How old is John Goodman today? He was the football coach of Revenge of the Nerds.
But the actor John Goodman, is that who you're?
Yes.
Okay.
No, Harriet Tubb Goodman. No, John Goodman.
Don't be a Richard. I'm going to say he is 76.
82.
73. Keep going down. Oh, our neighbor, Nicole Kidman. How is Nicole Kidman today?
52.
55.
58. Chase slipped 1-0. Grace Potter, the singer. How old is Grace Potter?
47.
44.
She's 42. We're tied at 1. Well done there, Dr. Crane. On the board here. Moving right along here. Let's see who else. Singer Anne Murray.
44.
52.
80.
Nice.
Home show repair host Bob Vila.
77.
68.
79. Chase up 2-1. Bass player Michael Anthony of Van Halen.
64.
67.
71. Bass player John Taylor of Duran Duran.
68.
72.
65. Bass player Murphy Cargus of Sugar Ray.
Is this bass player
today? Just answer the question.
55.
60.
Oh, he's 58. Dr. Crane ties it at 2. Singer Dan Tominski sang Man of Constant Sorrow, not George Clooney. He did, and he's also a member of Alison Krauss's band.
56.
62.
58. Chaser's up 3-2. Actor Josh Lucas, he does all the Home Depot commercials.
43.
45.
54. We'll go down here real quick. Got three sports birthdays. Ron Hornaday.
Ah, the driver.
Yep.
66.
69.
67. Chaser up 4-2. LeVar Arrington.
44.
Get a sport of origin, please?
Yeah, football.
Oh, okay. Thank you. 58.
Can I buy a vowel?
47. Last one, down to the last one. Dr. Gray, get a chance to tie this. Darren Sproles.
Ooh. 38.
42.
At the buzzer, Dr. Crane ties it at 4-4. Wow. And that's where we'll leave it to the weekend, because you both are winners.
Oh, thank you so much. That is going to do it for us. Thanks for making this so much fun. And, playing along with us, because that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, as we leave with our message every day, it was heavy on my heart this morning, my other message, that somebody needed to hear this today. There's a reason we do this. It's the reason we need you guys here. Our world is a better place because you are here. So if you're going through something, please know that we love you and you're here. I always talk about the guy that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and survived. They asked him why he did it. He said, I don't know, but I didn't want to do it. So that's why we're here. We love you guys. Reach out to us. Talk to us. Know that our world is a better place because you are here. Know that we're always here for you, and we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll, DVD, coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.